Friday means the July jobs report, and this one lands in a particularly charged environment. Kevin Warsh, whom Trump installed as Federal Reserve Chair, has pulled back on what had been the Fed's practice of forward guidance, essentially signaling in advance where rates are headed. The argument for guidance is that it reduces uncertainty and helps businesses and markets plan. The argument against it, which Warsh apparently finds compelling, is that guidance creates commitments that can hamstring the Fed when conditions change. But pulling back on guidance in a month, when you're waiting for a jobs report that could read in multiple directions, introduces exactly the volatility it's supposed to reduce.
Trump's praise of Warsh this week, combined with his renewed effort to shift blame for past rate hikes onto the broader Fed board rather than the chair, tells an interesting political story. Trump has historically wanted lower rates, and Warsh's guidance pullback could be read as creating more flexibility to cut. But the July jobs numbers will test whether that flexibility gets used. If the labor market comes in weaker than expected, there's real pressure to cut rates quickly. If it comes in hot, the case for holding gets stronger, which is awkward for an administration that has been publicly nudging toward easier money.
Jamie Dimon has two different messages in the news today that are worth reading together. In one forum, he said the AI spending boom will pay out. His confident prediction that the massive capital investment in AI infrastructure will generate returns. But in a separate context, he warned about hidden leverage after what he described as the situational awareness collapse, apparently referencing a highly leveraged financial entity that unwound rapidly. Those two statements, optimism about the long-term AI bet, caution about hidden leverage in the current market, aren't contradictory. They're actually a coherent diagnosis. The AI investment thesis is sound, but the financing structure underneath parts of the market is shakier than it looks.
Dimon's hidden leverage warning is the kind of thing that tends to get filed away until it suddenly becomes the most important thing anyone said. The situational awareness collapse he referenced appears to have been an entity that was running significant off-balance sheet exposure in AI-adjacent assets, and when it unwound, the speed of it caught people off guard. Dimon's point is that there are likely other entities with similar structures that haven't been stress-tested yet.
Michael Burry's new positions are a related signal. Burry, the investor who famously shorted the mortgage market before 2008, has opened short positions on Oracle and Nebius, and he's explicitly cited off-balance sheet leverage risks, calling the market near a major top. Now, Burry has been wrong before on timing. He was early on several of his macro calls, but the specific nature of the companies he's targeting matters. Oracle has been a major cloud infrastructure play, and Nebius is a European AI infrastructure company. Burry is not shorting consumer discretionary or retail, he's shorting the AI infrastructure build-out itself, which is a direct counterpoint to Dimon's optimism.
The SpaceX situation is a fascinating microcosm of all of this. The company reported earnings that disappointed markets enough to trigger a 14% decline in its secondary market shares. And then a massive lockup expiration followed, meaning large early shareholders were suddenly able to sell. That combination, disappointing earnings plus unlocked shares, is typically the recipe for a sharp drawdown. But by the time we're recording, analysts are actually raising their price targets, and shares appear to be recovering. That recovery suggests institutional investors view the sell-off as an overreaction to one quarter rather than a structural problem with the company's trajectory.
The oil industry story adds another layer to the energy market's picture. Major petroleum producers are actively mobilizing to block Trump from restricting U.S. crude oil exports, which is itself a striking political dynamic because the oil industry has been one of Trump's core constituencies, and now it's lobbying against a policy the administration is apparently considering. The argument against export restrictions is that they would depress domestic production incentives. The administration's apparent argument for them seems to be energy security or price management. That's a real policy disagreement with real industry money behind it, and it will be worth watching how it resolves.